You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
All right, let's try that again now that the ice has been broken. But, wow, 9 o'clock's really filling up from when we started. Right. I don't see it from this perspective, so... For those of you that don't know me, I am Pastor Billy's better-looking twin brother. Clearly, for those of you guys that do know me, like Pastor said, you know, clean pants, clean boots, and a brand new shirt just for you guys to show up here today. But as we begin, you know, I want to open up with this and have you think about this. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. That's a passage from Psalm 107, which is where we'll be this morning. But praise, so praise at its core is a truthful acknowledgement of the righteous acts of another. It's the joyful recounting of all God has done for us and showing God appreciation for His mighty works on our behalf. So we can praise Him with singing, with shouting, with dance, and with musical instruments. You can see that all throughout Scripture, as the angels praise the Lord in heaven, as King David, a big example of praise, praises Him throughout a lot of the Psalms, singing and dancing, not caring if he looks like a fool or not, which should be our heart. Praising God is a heart posture, so it reveals to us who we put our reliance in. So an example, I can thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the car I came in here today. Or I can thank the Lord like this. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the car I came in here today. But if you didn't provide it, I would have worked harder for it. I would have provided it for myself. I have that reliance in my bank account or in my circumstances or whatever that might be. You can see praising reveals to us who we put our reliance in, who our heart posture is in. Is it submitted to the Lord or is it to ourselves? Praising also prepares our hearts to seek the Lord on a deeper level. You know, thinking about that praise, we have to lay down ourselves and our own wants and those things to exalt the Lord above our own desires. So it empties our hearts of our own pride and our own selfishness, and it prepares us to seek the Lord. Praise is also very closely related to thanksgiving. And that's a season of reminder we're in. You know, Thanksgiving is coming up on Thursday. We have the Friendsgiving on Wednesday. And so we're just reminded during this season of all the reasons we have to be thankful, all the reasons we have to praise. So we can give God praise, but we can also give Him the thanksgiving from our heart. And to give thanks means acknowledgement of having received something good from another. And think about that, the acknowledgement of having received something good from another. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord, for giving us this place that we can come to gather, Lord. I ask through this message, Lord, through the morning, that you would hide me behind your cross, Lord, that anything that's said that's incorrect or is muffled or is bumbled up, Lord, that it would be me that's saying that and not you, Lord. But anything that's good that people can take away, Lord, that you would get all the glory and the honor for that. I do thank you for the 9 o'clock, for it filling up, Lord, for you just drawing more people to yourself. And I ask that you would prepare our hearts, Lord, that you would empty our hearts of our own self-pride, of our own selfishness, Lord, of our own desires, so we can truly come before you with that praise, with that thanksgiving in our heart, Lord, because as the songs we sang this morning reminded us, we have so many reasons to praise and to give you thanks, Lord. So I just ask that you'd be with the message this morning, that you would allow your people to take away what you want, Lord, and just hide my own words behind your scripture. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So everyone, open up your Bibles to Psalm chapter 107. And if you don't have a Bible, in the seat below in front of you, you'll find one. But as we're opening, we're turning there. The title of today's message is Reasons Why We Praise. So as we close on this series that Pastor Billy's been doing on Thanksgiving, and we close in on the holiday of Thanksgiving, a lot of people then start to become thankful for what they have or for what God has given them. They start to become thankful. But let me ask you this. Does God only call us to be thankful during the month of November, or during that season, that holiday of Thanksgiving? No, absolutely not. Would we only want friends or family to be thankful to us one time a year for something maybe we've done or we've helped them with? Absolutely not. But even if we don't like to admit it, you know, we are much like the Israelites who this text was originally written to. Exodus 32 verse 9 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people." So that idea of not being easily turned in another direction, you know, where you point your neck or your head is usually where you'll go. And that idea of not of being stiff-necked, you know, not easily turned in another direction, when we're so focused on our own path and our own wants and our own desires, we can't be easily turned back to the way that God wants us to go until we empty ourselves. The examples of being a stiff-necked or hard-hearted people go on and on and on in Scripture. Ezekiel 2:4 would say this, "For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord." You know, if I take time and I truly examine my own life, I can say I have a tendency to be stiff-necked, hard-hearted, and rebellious, following my own ways apart from the ways that God would want me to go. We are also a forgetful people. Husbands, how many of you have already forgotten the conversation you and your wife had on the way to church this morning? Apparently, it's not only me, but I think a lot of people didn't raise their hands that might. I don't know, but we are a forgetful people. I'm guilty of that. Scripture reminds us of that in James chapter 1, 23 and 24. Says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." You know, James is referencing those that hear God's word but go about their own way and forget what it said. You know, I might hear a great sermon on Sunday or a great worship song or a great message on Wednesday, but then I go home and I turn away to my own desire, my own pathway, you know, self-focused, having that pride in my heart built up. But you might ask, do we still act in that same way today as James was referencing? And absolutely we do. You know, we hear those things, we hear that good message, but we go our own way and we forget what manner, we forget what we look like in the mirror. But fortunately for us, God already knows that, and he is very good at reminding us, which brings us into today's scripture. So look at Psalm 107, verse 1 with me. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." There it is, that give thanks, or that give praise to. And notice the psalmist is giving a command. It says, "Oh, give thanks." It doesn't say if your circumstances are good or if your conditions are going the way you want them to or if your bank account is full or your relationships are doing well. It doesn't say that. It says, "Oh, give thanks." It's that command, because we will see various situations and circumstances when the people probably didn't want to praise, much like maybe many of us are going through that situation or that circumstance where praise is difficult. But this is a reminder to do it, and we will see reasons why we praise him, why he's worthy of that. The first example of why we are to give God praise. It says in verse 1, "Because he is good." Jesus reiterates this in Mark 10:18 when he says, "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. There is no one else good but God." So we can see that the psalmist is saying that God is good, one reason why he deserves our praise. The second example, and think about this, we're still in verse 1, so that's already two examples of why we should give God praise in the first verse of this chapter. Now, how many more reasons would we have to give him praise or thanks if we examine all of Scripture, not just taking in, you know, the single verse in a chapter, but if we look at all of Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, if we examine all areas of our life, how many more reasons could we come up with to give him praise? And sometimes we get mind locked where, hey, I can't think of anything else. But go to Scripture, we don't even have to come up with anything on our own to give him praise. Scripture's already told us all those things of why he is worthy and the reasons why we can praise. So the second example, for his mercies endureth forever. So mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. You might say, well, what do I deserve? I've been a good person. I come to church. I tithe. I do this. I do that. I sacrifice. Yep, so we might be thinking that, but Romans 3:23 reminds us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 10 would say it like this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So we all deserve death. We all deserve that eternal separation from God because of our sins, because none of us are good or righteous on our own. But what does God give us instead? His grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. God's grace is giving us something we do not deserve. Verse 2 goes on to highlight that. Look at it. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And that word redeemed means to free from captivity by payment of ransom, by payment. So somebody or something has to pay to free from captivity. Romans 3:24 says this, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption or that payment that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2 would continue on to say those that have been redeemed or bought back. Well, bought back from what, you might ask? Bought back from the hand of the enemy. Those that have called upon the name of Jesus to be saved have been bought back from Satan, from death, from the grave, to God. I don't know about you, but thinking about these things should be enough for me to give God endless praise. I shouldn't need any more reasons than that to give him praise, but that should be enough. But we don't stop there. Scripture doesn't stop there. God doesn't stop there. You know, of giving that inspiration of why he deserves praise, the reasons why. Because remember, we are a forgetful people. We forget those reasons. And God has to repeat himself, so thankfully I can remember. So let's look at verses 3 through 5. It says, and gather them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. So we can see examples of people with difficult circumstances. You know, they wandered in the wilderness. The first verse says they were gathered from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. That idea that the people were scattered all over the place, being gathered from all four corners of the earth, from those different directions, brought back together. So they were scattered. But verse 4 says they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, just wandering with no path, no place to go in a solitary way, all alone, nobody there to help, to pick them up, to say, hey, this is the right path to go. It continues on and says they found no city to dwell in. They had no place to lay their head, no safety, no inhabitation, you know, nothing that was established they could go to. And it finishes off in verse 5, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. You know, physically being hungry and thirsty, but then spiritually their soul just being so worn down, so exhausted that it fainted within them. No drive, no desire to continue on. But look at verse 6 with me. It says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Verse 7 goes on that God took all of that bad, those circumstances, that situation, and turned it for good. Look at verse 7. It says, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. You know, we can see there it says, and he led them, that God personally led the people. And why did he personally lead them? Because verse 6 tells us they cried out in their trouble, and God delivered them out of their distresses. So we can see God personally led them. It is that close relationship between Creator and creation. James 4:8 says this, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. But what does drawing nigh or drawing close to someone or something produce? It produces an understanding for, It produces reverence for, remember last week, Pastor Billy walked us through having a reverent heart, having that reverence in our soul, to get down on our knees, to bow low before the Lord, to give Him praise, to worship Him because we have that reverence for. Drawing close also produces that personal relationship. When we draw close to a friend or a spouse, you know, we get to know that person. We get to know what they like, what they don't like, what they expect, what they don't expect. So it produces that personal relationship. But the big thing, and look at verse 8, it produces reasons to praise. Amen. Verse 8 says that, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." To give God that praise for what He has done in our life is exactly what verse 8 is saying. The purpose of making His works known to other people. Hebrews 13:15 would tell us this. "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." It says, offer that sacrifice of praise. You know, sometimes we don't want to. We're in that situation. We're focused on that storm, and we do not want to praise Him. But Scripture tells us, offer the sacrifice. The sacrifice always costs us something. It's going to cost us comfort, you know, our feeling of comfort, that comfortability. It's going to cost us maybe time. It's going to cost us energy and effort. But Scripture is telling us to do that continually. Let the fruit of our lips, you know, that sweet, savory sacrifice, being giving thanks to the name of God for everything that He's done for us. So let's put that in perspective so we can understand fully what it's saying. When you're proud of your kids for doing something in school, or maybe you're proud of yourself for accomplishing something at work, you know, usually we like to tell people, "Oh, my kid did this," or "they accomplished that," or "I did this at work, and look at how good I am. Look at the works that I've done," making our works known to other people. But why do we shy away from telling people about the works that God has done in our life? Why so focused on me or somebody else, and we shy away from making the works of God known to other people? That's what Scripture's telling us, to give Him that praise. You know, Matthew 12:34 would say, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So let me ask you this. What abundance is in your heart? And really think about that. You might say, "Well, it's God." Yeah, we're sitting in church Sunday morning. I hope it is God. But what about Monday morning and Tuesday morning? What abundance is on your heart? Is it thinking and praising your own works? Or is it thinking and praising God's faithfulness and His works towards us? God's word is the perfect reminder for us forgetful people, which is all the more reason to spend time studying it. Like I said, we don't even have to come up with our own reasons to praise. We don't even have to come up, "Wow, Lord, You've done this in my life or done that," because sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes we are focused on that storm or that situation. Maybe it's a cancer diagnosis or a relationship falling apart or our bank accounts being empty and we're living paycheck to paycheck, not knowing what to do. Well, I think of Peter. You know, as he was called out of the boat to walk towards Jesus, that when Peter had his eyes focused on Christ, hearing His voice, knowing who He was, walking towards Him, he walked on the water. He was able to withstand that storm. But as soon as he took his focus and his eyes off of Jesus and started to look at the storm and the waves and the wind and all those things going on around him, he began to sink. But what did he do? Just like this text, he cried out to the Lord, and Jesus was faithful to save him. Scripture continues on, so let's look at verse 9. It says, "For He satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Look at God's promises that He does satisfy the longing soul. Scripture doesn't say that He just fills it and moves on, but it tells us what He fills it with. He fills it with His goodness. Numbers 23:19 says this about God. "God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good?" What God says He will do, He is faithful to do. Another good reason to praise the Lord for His faithfulness. You know, we sing that song, "Faithful," still reminding us of all the reasons, all the times God has been faithful to us. Even though we don't deserve it, remember, we deserve that death, that eternal separation from God, but it's by His grace that we don't. in verses 10 through 12, we can see a change. Scripture shifts over to a group of people and their choice, and it gives us a glimpse into somebody else's story. That way we don't just sit and say, well, my story, my event, my circumstances are different than anybody else. No, Scripture is full of people with difficult circumstances, things they've had to walk through. Verse 10 says, such as sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. So that picture of iron chains or shackles of a jail cell keeping us tied down, I can only help to think about Paul. You know, as he wrote a lot of the New Testament, a lot of the books from prison cells, you know, Roman jail cells, and all I can imagine is him being chained and shackled to the wall. You know, it's dark, it's wet, it's dingy, no light. He can't get up and do anything for himself, but what does he still do? He still praises God, even though he had every single reason in the book to not give God praise, because look at his circumstances, look at what he was in, but he does not do that. But maybe it's sitting in that darkness of sin or addiction, you know, that thing we just cling to that keeps us in the dark, bound in that pain or that suffering. But verse 11 brings more clarity to the situation. It says, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. So these people that it was written to, the Israelites, they sat in that darkness because they rebelled against God's word, and they condemned the counsel of the Most High. They didn't take it to heart. They didn't heed the words that it was saying. As I was reading this, I was wondering, did they rebel in what I might think of as a small way? You know, maybe they told a little white lie. Doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal, right? We often think that. Or did they rebel in what I might think of as a big way? Did they commit murder? Did they steal or do this or do that? But I'm reminded, so I had the right heart posture, so I had the right act here in James 2:10. It says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, just one point, he is guilty of all. So a person that keeps all of the laws but one, that person that's lived a great and righteous life, but they told one white lie, Scripture tells us is as guilty as that person who has not kept any of the laws. So you say, well, what hope does that leave for us? But think about that, because we're going somewhere with it. You know, verse 12 goes on to say, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. That idea that the people were self-sufficient. I don't know how many of you think this way, but I find myself thinking, I've got this. I don't need God today. I don't need that daily bread that Scripture says He provides, because guess what? I have it in the refrigerator. My cupboards are full of food. I have money in the bank. I'm doing okay, so maybe I don't need God today. That idea that they were self-sufficient. I don't need God, but I've got this. But when the people had no more MacGyver tactics, you know, they had no more strength, Scripture says that there was none to help them. They were all alone. No more avenues, no more ideas, empty, all out. But maybe they had one more, the last idea. You know, the idea that we often go to as the last resort, when we've exhausted all of our own strength, all of our own effort. You know, maybe I'll call out to the Lord and maybe He will rescue me. But look at verse 13. It says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Verses 13, 14, and 16 are reasons and answers of why men should praise the Lord in verse 15. So look at those. We can look at His goodness. We were all spiritually dead, sitting in darkness, bound in affliction and iron. Ephesians 2 verse 1 tells us we were dead in trespasses and sins because of our rebellion to God's word, because we did not take that to heart, we did not heed that. Our souls were once hungry and thirsty, wandering in the wilderness in a solitary way, so heavy and weighed down with sin that we had fallen down where no one could help us, nobody could pick us up. But God, and I love that verse or that saying in Scripture, whenever Scripture says, but God, you know, but God doesn't leave us to sit there alone. But God doesn't leave us in that dark spot. But God doesn't leave us to sit in our sin, bound in those chains. Look at verse 14. It says, and He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. It says, and He broke those chains, God, that iron, the prison bars in sunder. And sunder is that idea of splitting apart or breaking into two pieces. You know, splitting those bars or those chains or those shackles apart into two pieces. So we're no longer bound to sit in those anymore. Ephesians 2 verses 4 through 5 says this: "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." So we can see God, who is rich in mercy, not giving us what we deserve. But God, who is also rich in grace, giving us what we do not deserve. You know, and that's Jesus. But it wasn't until the people humbled their hearts and they cried out to God that he rescued them. You know, it was their last resort. They didn't have any other avenues. And why do we so often go that route where, hey, I don't have anything else I can do on my own, so I might as well call out to God and see if he rescues me? Why is he not our first go-to? Because he deserves that praise. Well, because we're a forgetful people. We forget how good God has been to us. We forget what he did for us yesterday to today. We don't remember that. So his word is full of those reminders for us. 1 Peter 5:5 says this: "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." You know, when the people humble their hearts and realize we can't do this on our own, they cried out to the Lord. He was faithful to rescue them. Isaiah 58 verse 9 says this: "Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am." God tells us he shall answer when we cry out to him, and he shall say, "Here I am." We just need to be faithful to call out to him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. You know, Psalm 107 was originally written for the Israelites. They were pre-Jesus, so they didn't have that picture. They didn't have the knowledge of what we now know about Jesus, and they couldn't see what we now see. Hebrews 10:7, though, reminds us and says this: even though we're looking in the Old Testament and Jesus came in the New Testament, Hebrews says this: "Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do that will, O God." That we can see Jesus here in the Old Testament, in this passage in Psalms that the psalmist is writing about. It is that perfect picture to turn our hearts back to Jesus, to remember, to look at what he's done for us. And it's true here. Look at Psalm 107, verse 16. It says, "For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder." That reminder, that picture for us that Jesus has already broken the gates or the bars in sunder, that act of breaking into two pieces. He has broken the bars which held and condemned us to death. Remember, that's what we deserve because of our sins. The bars that separated us from God the Father. That veil that was torn in the temple. That place where only the priest could go, it separated the Holy of Holies, where the priest went to commune with God. So beforehand, we couldn't go directly to God. We had to go through a priest. And man, am I glad we don't have to go that same way today. Matthew 27, verse 51, talking about after Jesus had died and given up his spirit for you and for me, it says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent." That idea that after Jesus died for you, for me, on the cross, that veil was torn in sunder, that breaking of two parts, that ripping from the top to the bottom that separated us from God the Father because of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us. Now we can commune directly with God, and we do not have to go through the priest like the Israelites would have had to at this time. So Galatians 4, 3 through 5 reminds us of this. "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem," remember, to buy back "them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons." That's why God deserves our praise. That's why he deserves it never ending, because of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us. I don't know about you, but that should be the one reason that I have to praise God every single day for my salvation, because of that sacrifice Jesus made. It is our duty and our privilege to be able to praise the Redeemer, the Rescuer, and the true restorer. It is our heart posture to go before the Lord with that thanksgiving, to empty ourselves, knowing that I couldn't make myself righteous, knowing that I couldn't take my own sin and put it as far as from the east as from the west. I couldn't do that. No more avenues, no more ideas. So I'm going to call out to the Lord. I'm going to call out to Him in my heart and say, Lord, thank You for the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross for me, even though I'm not deserving of it. You know, a popular verse that Pastor Billy always quotes and has stuck in my head, you know, all of our acts are like filthy rags. We can't bring anything good before the Lord, but He took that upon Himself. You know, if you're struggling today to find reasons to praise God, maybe it's a situation you're in or the circumstances. Maybe it's a job that you didn't get or that you lost. You know, maybe your bank account isn't doing as good as you want it to. Maybe your relationships are falling apart. Maybe it's that diagnosis of whatever might be going on in your life. You know, maybe you're sitting in that sin and saying, God, I don't know how I can get out of this. I don't know what I can do, where I can go from here. Can I encourage you today that we have and we get to experience one of the greatest reasons to praise today? That is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, who gave up all honor and all glory to become a man, to die that criminal's death on the cross for you and for me. You know, we look up here in this picture that those spikes would have been driven through His hands and through His feet, that He took that guilty verdict, even though He lived the spotless, you know, sinless life, that He took the guilty verdict on the cross for me and for you. And that's one of the greatest reasons we have to praise. Apart, we can look at Scripture and we can say this reason and that reason and this reason. God has been so faithful and so full of mercy and so full of grace to us that He just wants us to give Him that, the praise, the fruit of our lips back to the Lord. He deserves our never-ending praise. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, that we can go away today proclaiming the things that God has done in our life to other people, making that work known, that we would be courageous and not shy away from telling other people. But even if we go to them and we say, I am thankful and I praise the Lord because of Jesus, because of that sacrifice, because I have a path to heaven, because I'm made righteous with Him, that's what we need. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you know, nobody looking around, as Mrs. Martini comes and sits at the piano, we can prepare our hearts for this time of reflection. You know, how did God speak to you today through His Word? How is the Holy Spirit convicting you today? Maybe you heard some new reasons today on why God deserves your praise. You know, we heard because He is good, His mercies endure forever. He is faithful to do what He says He's going to do. You know that song, Faithful Still. When we have our eyes fixed on the Lord, that He produces that peace to withstand the storms, that He doesn't let us sit in that darkness and in our sin bound in those chains, but He picks us up. And as long as we call out to Him, He is faithful to say, here I am. You know, He answers us. Maybe today is that day you start looking at all the things God has done in your life and giving Him praise for that. You know, thank You, Lord, for breath in my lungs today, for that vehicle I drove today, for the ability to walk, the ability to read. We have never-ending reasons to give Him praise. It's focusing our hearts on what God has done and not what you have done. Maybe you're in the storms of life, needing to humble your heart and cry out to the Lord for that deliverance, for that rescue. Maybe today is that day of salvation where you call unto the name of the Lord. You know, you cry out to Jesus and say, I know I can't do this, Lord, and I know that I can only have eternal salvation through Your Son, Jesus, through the sacrifice He made for me on the cross. You know, maybe you believe that in your heart today, and that is going to be your heart's cry, to go home with that, to tell people, to have that new fire in your heart, to remember what He has done. Maybe today is the day you go home, you pick up your Bible, and you start to examine all the reasons God deserves praise, all the reasons He's been good to us. You know, I challenge you to pray in something this morning that you heard. Take away all of my words, but listen to what Scripture is saying and leading. You know, as the worship team comes up here, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. Father, I thank you for this passage in Psalm 107. And even though we only look through the first 16 verses, Lord, you have shown us so many reasons of why you deserve our praise, Lord, of how we can turn our hearts to you. And that I pray that you would work through your scripture, Lord, take away my words and hide me behind your cross, that you would allow people to take home something from scripture, Lord, a new reason to praise. Maybe today was that day they accepted your son, Jesus, into their heart for that sacrifice that he paid for us, Lord. Let that be the reminder, that key point on our minds today, Father, that we would take that home, that we would give you never-ending praise, that it would be the fruit of our lips given to you, Father God, that you are faithful, that your mercies endure forever, Lord, that you gave us grace through your Son on the cross. I just pray that you would work through your people today, Lord, and speak to them. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand for the closing song.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.